But Ezekiel gets taken to Babylon pretty early on. You know, the exile, they took the people from Judah, from the kingdom of Judah, to Babylon kind of in waves. First, they took all the smart people. They took all the construction workers and the engineers and the, you know, computer scientists and all the sort of, you know, electronic people. They took all the smart people to Babylon. Come on, that's a joke. They took all the smart people to Babylon first. And then they took like another big wave. And then the city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The last king, the Babylonians murdered all his sons before him. And then they gouged his eyes out. So that would be the last thing that he would remember. And then they led him into Babylon as well. Ezekiel was in Babylon right from the beginning of the thing. But God showed him visions and gave him word to write. And he talks about why these things happened. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but you know, when, for those of you that have done the Torah class, you know about the Shekinah glory that led the people through the wilderness. If you haven't done the Torah class, it's on YouTube and it's on my new website. We'll get to that later. But you can watch it at your leisure. It's only 33 parts and it's a lot of popcorn involved, but it's okay. But, or maybe some strong drinks to kind of get you through it. But anyway, I don't want to go off on sidetracks, but the Shekinah led the people through the wilderness. When the people got to the land, sometimes they saw the Shekinah glory. Most of the time they didn't. Sometimes it was in the temple. Sometimes it wasn't. The day that Solomon dedicated the temple, the whole temple was filled with the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah, and they couldn't see. The glory cloud was so dense. You know, the Hebrew word for holiness is kavod, but it has the sense of heaviness to it. It's like the heaviness of God when you're in his presence. And the whole temple was filled with it. The priests had to leave. The choirs had to leave. They had to pack up the guitars and the drums, and they had to go out in the front. And Solomon said, whoa, I thought I was just coming here to cut the ribbon, but man, this big miracle. And when Ezekiel was in Babylon already, he was sitting by the banks of the river Chebar, and God showed him a vision, and he saw the Shekinah glory. Now get this, people say the Old Testament's boring. He saw the Shekinah come out of the temple through the eastern gate, go out the eastern gate of the city, go across the Kidron Valley, go up the Mount of Olives, and on top of the Mount of Olives, it went into heaven. Jesus retraced those steps when he ascended into heaven. And the Shekinah was never seen again after that. So Ezekiel has this, and we're going to see a little bit about God shows him what's going on in the temple. People are worshiping idols in the temple. The priests are condoning all this stuff, and they're teaching false teachings, and they're saying, hey, everything is cool, don't worry. You know, it's kind of like talking to 21st century Western culture, except it's like 588 BC or whatever it was. And so in Ezekiel 34, he writes this, and this is what we're going to concentrate on. And this is not what I was originally going to do today, but I saw a couple of videos yesterday that disturbed me so much that I put this together late last night and this morning. And I won't mention any names, unless you press me for it, then I don't mind mentioning names. I won't mention any names, but a very, very well-known prosperity guy, not Joel Osteen, the guy who's the richest preacher in the world. He claims that he's a billionaire. And I don't know how many houses he has, and he just bought his third private jet. And there was this video of him preaching, and the sleeve of his shirt went up, and he had this watch on, and he stopped his teaching, and he said, oh, I see you've all noticed my watch. And I won't even tell you how much this watch costs, but you can see, you can't see it from where you're sitting in the back, but there's diamonds all around it. And it has, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is your teaching for the Sunday morning? How expensive your watch is? Then some other guy later in that video says, well, you know, when God says, I am, I say to God, I am too. I thought, oh, blasphemy. You know, we should all be ripping our clothes like the chief priest would have done. So I got shifted to Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord, notice Lord all capitalized, you all know that. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. Please take, go home and read this again for your homework, because this is very powerful. And I promised Linda this is going to be a short teaching. So, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. We live in a culture where, I don't know, you can't put a percentage on it. Most people are scattered. Most people are lost. The shepherds aren't going after them. The shepherds aren't going looking for lost sheep. The shepherds don't care about the sheep. This guy cares about his watch. The other guy blasphemes the name of God. He's not interested in where the sheep are, as long as they're contributing money. And God says, my flock scattered over the whole face of the earth. And none of the shepherds are looking for them. Of course, that applies to 588 BC. But it applies to 2024 AD. It applies to every time in history, really. But I don't care what anybody says. We're the last generation. We're here to bring in the final harvest. This is the end of the end time. And I hope it starts. I hope it's tonight. But we are in a position, and like I always say, we should be honored that he put us here now. Our mission is to be here now. Like in Acts 17, when Paul's in Athens on the Areopagus, and he says to the philosophers, you know, God made everybody from this one blood, put them where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. Pretty cool. You know, maybe we're here for such a time as this, Mordecai says to Esther. We're here for such a time as this. So we got sheep scattered all over the mountains. Are we going to go looking for them, or are we going to say, hey, you know what? Tough, that's their problem. As long as they're putting money in the thing, as long as they're putting money in the basket. So the shepherds, of course, are the religious leaders. We get the word pastor, which is the Latin word for shepherd. Right? Of course, right. I don't know what the Greek word is, but he's talking about the religious leaders. This is not flattering stuff they're being told. They're fattening themselves. They're enriching themselves. They're eating the good food. You know, Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul, my hero, when he was a Pharisee and he was the number one Pharisee, when he walked down the street, everybody went, oh, oh, here he comes. When he showed up at a place, he got seats in the first row. When he went to the Cavs game, courtside seats. When he went to a baseball game, I got to go to a World Series game once, thanks to somebody in here, but we won't go into that again. But when, you know, when Paul went to a baseball game, man, he had the box seat right behind home plate because they said, oh man, here's a Pharisee. And then, you know, he says later, I gave all that stuff up. Because when I came to Yeshua, I lost all that. But you know what? That was all lost to me. Compared to knowing Christ, that was all lost to me. Who cares about all that stuff? And then he adds that it was manure. The English translation says rubbish. The Greek word means manure. So wearing all that cool stuff and walking around, so that was all manure to me compared to knowing Christ. Yes? Keep the song in Christ alone in mind. This was not a flattering picture, and they're not going to be spared. They're false to their mission, and they're false to their trust. They don't care about the sheep. We don't only have the prosperity and the word of faith people and all this other stuff. We have, you know, the 57-minute crowd that shuffles in, shuffles out. We have the high-five Jesus crowd. Hey, man, Jesus is my buddy. High five. And yes, of course he is our buddy. But you have to have a little fear of the Lord thrown in. So they're false to their mission and their trust. Jeremiah mentions this in 23, verse 1. 23 is a scathing, and they're writing at the same time, him and Ezekiel. They're writing at the same time. Jeremiah says, do you see what these priests of mine are doing? They're a total disaster. They don't care about their flock. They're running after whatever God comes by. They want to worship whatever God's come by. They want to hedge their bets. They give me lip service. But then they're over there worshiping Baal or Ishtar or somebody. I highly recommend you read Jonathan Cahn's Return of the Gods if you haven't read it. It will blow your mind as you see our time and what he writes. So he's talking about the priests and the Levites. There's also civil officials and government people were called shepherd, but kind of in a different way. You know, you can't blame a government person like you can blame a religious leader. Okay? So what do we have in our country? We have a, quote, Catholic president who espouses abortion, same-sex marriage, gender ideology, promotes it all over the world, tells other countries, we're not going to give you aid if you don't accept this. And the person in the Vatican who's his leader doesn't say a word. In fact, he appoints people who think just like he does to high offices. The hierarchy of the Anglican Church says, you know what? We shouldn't use the word church. It makes people feel bad. Maybe we should use the word community. Or maybe we should just use the word fellowship. Because church, you know, that has kind of a strict connotation. So while we're doing the gay ceremonies and while we're doing all this other stuff, let's just say we're a community. We don't want to say, you know, we're not the Church of England. We're the community of England or some silly thing. That's what they're on all about now. They're all about on about that now. All the faithful priests of the Church of England are leaving in droves. And they're starting new churches faithful to the gospel and faithful to their history. In fact, one of their symbols is a guy dressed like an Anglican priest pulling a suitcase and walking out of his rectory and going down the street. And then they go someplace to meet, and the Anglican officials come over and say, we own this property. You can't meet here anymore. The Methodist Church, totally off the rails. Remember the Wesley brothers? Revivals, hymns, 200 hymns. Totally off the rails. So faithful people that are in there are leaving. So the government is in a different position, but these are religious leaders. And so these people he's talking about are living off the people, making themselves comfortable, you know, eating the fat, getting all the stuff, getting the tithes, send in your prayer request, you know, with $100. We'll pray. If you send $200, we'll pray twice as hard. If you send $1,000, I'll take your thing home and pray. And if you want to help me buy my next private jet, I'll put your name on one of the seats as a donor. Living off the people, making themselves comfortable. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians? I was stoned, shipwrecked, beaten by rods, attacked by Jews, attacked by Gentiles, attacked in the country, attacked in the city, but I keep going. What, Paul, you don't have a private jet? You don't even have like a fancy chariot or something? No, I walk everywhere. Oh man, what a bummer. You got to learn to take up collections. He says, nope, I earn my pay everywhere I go. 18 months in Corinth, he made tents. Ephesus, he made tents. He says, I don't ask anybody for anything because I don't want to be a burden. I could ask, but I don't. And again, I think every minister, every priest, every rabbi should have a job, at least part-time job, half of each day. So then they could see what it's like, number one, to work. I know they work, but I have a different definition of work. But they could also see, like, they could provide for some of their own upkeep, like Paul did. So they're making themselves comfortable. And God charges them in his name. He says, by my name, I charge them. God's name is Hashem. It's you can't even say Yahweh. We can say it. They couldn't say it. So they call him Hashem, the name. He says, by my name, I charge these people. So when God charges you with something by his name, it's not a trivial matter. It's not like, you know, you didn't quite tithe. You only gave 9.6%. Or, yeah, I know you dozed off during the thing, but, you know, we'll let it go this time. No, this is a serious matter if he does it by his name. They're supposed to care for the flock, but they cared for themselves. They're not worried about doctrine, about teaching. The guy with the jet and the watch, does he read what these guys went through in the book of Acts? Probably not. They'll insist that even Jesus had money. Really? He had one tunic that those soldiers took. He had to borrow a donkey on Palm Sunday morning. Didn't even own a donkey. But yet we have this message. Hey, this sounds like my kind of church. God wants me to be rich. He'll let me do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about the old law. I don't even have to worry about the Ten Commandments because that's part of the law. You know, this is the kind of church I'm going to sign up for. And they get scattered over the mountainsides and no one's going to look for them. So there's no healing of the flock. Nobody strengthens the sheep. Nobody cares for their wounds. They're not searching for the lost ones. So somebody comes to their pastor and says, you know, I've been going through a hard time and this happened and that happened. Wait, let me look at the list. How much have you given this year? Oh, you've only given $200. You better take your problems to somebody else. They're not looking at people's wounds. They're not looking to heal people. They're not looking for lost people. These guys didn't care if somebody lived or died. In fact, like I always say on Thursday mornings, these guys were the Inquisition of their time. Oh, you don't agree with us? Okay. We got temple police. We'll stone you. We'll shame you in front of the whole community. You won't be allowed to come to the synagogue anymore. You ever notice in the Gospels, every time Yeshua's teaching or doing a miracle, there's always Pharisees around muttering. And that's true because they followed people around. They wanted to hear what he was saying. They wanted to know what they could use against him. They were looking for a violation of the law. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. Therefore, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Therefore, he can't be from God. And therefore, you guys that are following him, you can't be with God either because you don't keep the Sabbath. We know about the Sabbath. Your teacher doesn't, obviously. No concern. No provision for anybody. No good teaching for anybody. They didn't really even know anything about their flock. They didn't care what their destiny was. You think the guy with the watch personally cares if Joe sitting in the front seat, not this Joe, Joe sitting in the front seat is going to be saved or damned? Hey, I got this watch. I got the private jet. My house only costs $14 million. And if somebody over there says, oh, pastor, you know, that's nice. They don't care about their destiny. So the people are scattered and they're lost and they wander everywhere. You know, to this very day, if you're in Israel, and until recently, until COVID, you know, 80% of Jews are totally secular. You know, keep that in mind. You know, there's only 20% that are observant. 80% are totally secular. These young men, young women would be in the IDF. They'd come out of the IDF and they'd say, well, you know, we're looking for spirituality. And a lot of them went into Hinduism. A lot of them went into Buddhism. A lot of them went to the Far East to study yoga and meditation because they felt like they weren't getting spirituality in their own faith. But since COVID, and now since the war, more and more believers in Yeshua, Jesus. More and more men and women in the IDF who are believers. And so they tell their fellow soldiers, you know, he's the Messiah. And you turn to him and repent of what you've done, you can be saved. He came to save you. He fulfilled Moses and the prophets. And there's more and more people becoming believers. All the congregations in the Galilee that we know well, they're cooking meals, they're getting stuff. And, you know, once a week, they have stuff for soldiers. Kind of like the old USO, you know. Come for donuts, come for coffee, come for a meal. And while they're there, they tell them about Yeshua. So there's more and more believers. They're starting to understand the spirituality of it instead of wandering everywhere. People wander over the mountains. They're all disorganized. If you're wandering around, you're separated from each other. You don't have fellowship. You don't have connection. You become a lone ranger, whatever you are. And you're exposed to enemies when you're by yourself all the time, wandering around. Just like the sheep. This is why the metaphor of sheep is always used. Sheep goes off that way. The wolf comes and says, there's one. I don't see a shepherd around. This would be dinner tonight and lunch tomorrow. I don't know how much of a sheep a wolf can eat at a time, but so, you know, when you're scattered, you're exposed to enemies. They lose the knowledge of the truth because the shepherds aren't telling them the truth. Oh, well, who are you to say? Who are you to say? You know, what's it to you if two men want to get married? What's it to you if we want to have, you know, abortion in the ninth month? Your opinion doesn't count here. What's it to you if your little boy wants to be a little girl? What's it to me? I'm not the one who made the moral law. I'm not the one that somebody has to answer to. So the shepherds don't care. And the church, like I say, is running to be like the world. Oh, we do all that stuff too, you guys. come over here. We got the flag. We got the thing. We got the LGBTQ thing over here. Hey, come on in, you guys. We're just like y'all are. We're not weird. We're not judgmental. After all, God is love, and we're not supposed to judge. So come on over here. No one will judge you. But while they're there, they don't hear the truth. He's supposed to be leading the sheep. But they don't care. The shepherd's supposed to love the sheep. But now that he doesn't care. Because who's to say? Who's to say? So a shepherd's not supposed to want the sheep to be lost. You know, in Luke, there's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then the lost son. And each thing is, lose something, then there's a celebration. Lose something, there's a celebration. Then when the son comes home, there's a huge celebration. Right? And Yeshua also says, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than anything else. And, of course, Yeshua talks about being the good shepherd. We did a thing a few weeks ago here, a couple months ago maybe, whatever it was, about Psalm 23 followed by the good shepherd. And in Matthew's gospel in chapter, I didn't put it here, I don't think, 9, you know, he says he felt sorry for the crowd because they were sheep without a shepherd. They were just wandering around. And he started to teach and started to do things. They were like sheep without a shepherd. We have all the sheep wandering all over the place now. Nobody knows what's true. Whatever you think is true is true. And the shepherds say, well, you know, who am I to say? Well, who am I to say? And he says, the shepherds sit in the seat of Moses. They're supposed to know better. They have the authority to teach. They sit in the seat of Moses, and they're a disaster. Yeah, Matthew 9. See, I had it in there somewhere. Therefore, this is back to Ezekiel 34. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Does he say, here's the word of Ezekiel? Does he say, here's the word of this, you know, church council that we called? No, he says, this is the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. So what is he saying here? Okay, hear the word of the Lord. My flock became a prey to enemies. Who's the enemy? Satan. Satan is the enemy. We don't have to worry about going out and getting eaten by wolves. We have to worry about going out and being attacked by Satan. You know, when Paul talks about the armor of God that you put on in Ephesians 6, there's no armor that covers the back. The lesson is you don't turn your back on the enemy. You don't say, oh, I don't know what they're doing over there. All your protection is in the front. So God says, my flock became a prey. Every beast comes and eats them. Meantime, the shepherds are feeding themselves. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. If the shepherds aren't doing the job, I'm going to take the flock away from them. This has happened all through history. We're not going to go into all that. I'm not going to let this go on forever. Because it's my flock. He has sympathy and love for the sheep and indignation for the shepherds. He's not going to let this go on forever. This is his word. He says, thus says the Lord. We think it's a joke. Hey, I went on Sunday. Yep, almost every Sunday I'm there. Yep, I don't have to go, but I went. God's really impressed. He just sat there for the 57 minutes and then took off. Yep, I was there. Hey, I could have been playing golf. I could have been doing something else. I could have been asleep, but I was there. So what's going to happen? There's going to be exile. I can't put every verse up. There's going to be exile. This is just before the Babylonians come in and destroy everything. There's going to be exile. And there's going to be reestablishment, because I'm going to take the flock from the shepherds. I'm going to feed the flock. I'm going to make sure the flock is safe. I can't trust the shepherds to do it anymore. And this is what's happening today. He's going to provide, like a shepherd provides for the sheep. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places that they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. These poor people, my poor sheep, had no teaching, no direction. It was a dark day. They got scattered everywhere. I'm going to find them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring the people back from Babylon. You know, the prophet Hosea, God says all these judgments are coming, all these judgments are coming. And then at the end of each chapter, pretty much, he says, but if you turn back to me, I'll take you back. But you don't. So therefore, blah, blah, blah. But if you turn back to me, but you don't. And the same thing happened here in the southern kingdom. You turn back to me. Nope, we got idols. We got stuff going here. Look at all this cool stuff. So I'm going to find them. I'm going to do what the shepherds are supposed to do, because the shepherds scattered them on a cloudy, dark day. We don't even care that it's dark and cloudy outside. We don't care. Nobody cares about anything anymore. As long as we have our stupid TV and we have our couch and we have our comfortable bed and we have our car, we have whatever food we want to eat. Who cares about this dark and cloudy stuff? And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. So I'm going to bring them out from among the people. Who is he brought out from among the people in our time? Us. We've been brought out from among the people because we're believers. We're following him. Right? I think most people here are following him. We're not supposed to be like the other people. We're not supposed to go to the convention and bless everybody. We're not supposed to put up the flag and say, hey, everybody, come on in. Whatever you are, you are. Hey, come on in. That's a dark and cloudy day. But I'm going to bring the people back. I'm going to feed them. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down. Sheep only lie down if they're completely satisfied. We learn that in Psalm 23. When they're completely satisfied, the only time they lie down. They're going to lay down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost. Bring them back what was driven away. Bind up the broken. Strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. My ministers, my pastors aren't taking care of the people. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back from Babylon. I'm going to feed them. In another place in Ezekiel, he writes about how the Jews will be gathered from all the four corners of the earth where they've been scattered. Well, most people say that refers to Babylon, but Babylon's only one place. He's talking about the four corners of the earth. And it says, God says, I'm going to say to the fruit trees, make more fruit. My people are coming back. Isn't that cool? I think that's kind of cool. So he seeks out the sheep. He's going to gather and feed them. He knows where they are. He knew where you were before you met Jesus. He knew what you were doing. He knew what you were up to. He knew you were a mess. He sought you out. You know, who meets Jesus and stays the same as they were before? That'd be pretty weird. So he knows who are his, and he's going to bring them out from among the people, then and now. I take this guy over here. He comes to me, repents of his sins. He follows me. I take him out from among the people. He's been living in darkness all this time. Now he sees the light. It applied to them, and it applies to us. The Israelites were brought back from exile. They went because of false teachers. The priests were doing the idolatry. The priests were condoning what was going on. God shows Ezekiel what's going on in the temple. Ezekiel can't believe it. The priests are worshiping all the statues of the idols inside the temple. We have churches where people worship wealth and health. People worship things. We have Christianity without Christ. We have church without the Holy Spirit. We want forgiveness without repentance. Hey, no problem. I don't need to be forgiven of anything because, hey, I haven't done anything wrong. So in chapters 8 to 11, he shows them the priests worshiping. The women are in the courtyard of the temple worshiping the Babylonian god Tammuz. Worshiping a Babylonian god in the courtyard of the temple because the women weren't allowed in the main part. But the priests are in the main part worshiping idols, the priests. So where is his inheritance through the Messiah? Where is his inheritance? You know, God says, Israel is my inheritance. You're not like the other people. You're my inheritance. You're my special possession. We, as followers of Messiah, we're his inheritance. And we have to deal with false teachers who turn away from the word, turn away from the gospel, and go into humanism. The gospel now is man-centered, not Christ-centered. And listen very carefully to some of these people you hear. Oh, be nice, don't criticize, no judging. We're all God's children. All the roads go up the mountain to the same place. That's a good one. It's funny, Jesus didn't believe that. Here's my favorite, 23. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. Wait a minute. David's been dead for about 400 years at this point. Yeah, David dies in 900 and something BC. This is about 590-ish BC. Wait a minute. David's been dead for 400 years. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. What's he talking about here? Messiah, the son of David. He's going to be my servant. He's going to feed the sheep. There's going to be one shepherd. I'm going to be their God. My servant David, the Messiah, is going to be among them. Among them. Where two or three are gathered, I'm there in their midst. He's here, right? John 14 and 15, he says, when you come to me, the Holy Spirit will live with you and he'll live in you. So we had God living with us and in us. We have the Messiah, the Son of God, with us here because we're gathered here in his name. So he says, David is going to be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is God's name. You know, we have to swear to God. You know, Jesus said, don't take oaths like that. But, you know, if you're in a court of law, you have to say that. God can't swear by anything other than himself, right? God can't take an oath because no one is higher than he is. So he says, I have spoken. I swear by myself, sometimes it says. So he says, Messiah is going to come and be one shepherd over all of them. All of them, meaning Gentiles as well as Jews, meaning the lost people who are going to come. He's going to provide, he's going to share, and he's going to live with them. Whew. So watch the shepherds. If you have a shepherd who's leading the flock to every mountain and scattered around, find another shepherd. I know that's easier said than done, but so, whew. Websites, podcasts, you're getting bored with this. YouTube channel, you guys all know about that. The Roots and Foundation one, I've been pushing because I put so much work into it. And if somebody would go on it and see something, I'd be so excited. If you go to the part that's called courses, not Basora, but rootsandfoundations.org, and you see a course you like to take, email me and say, I want to take the Galatians course. And I just send you the link. And you can do it at your leisure. I thought this was going to be short.